Gopi Jana Balaba Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Pribrajakacharya Stutara Satishri Srimadas Divine Grishla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivas Adigaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Jainatai Gaura Premana. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Aether Dvadasabhir Vidvan Atmano Lakshanai Parai Aham Mametyasad Bhavam Dehadao Mahajam Tyajet Eter Dvadasabhir Vidvan Atmano Lakshanaif Parai Aham Mametya Sadbhavam Dehadao Mohajam Tyajet Eter Dvadasabhir Vidvan Atmano Lakshanaif Parai Aham Mametya Sadbhavam Deha dao mahajam tyajeta.
Deha dao mahajam tyajeta.
Atma, the spirit soul, the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nitya, without birth or death. Avyaya, with no possibility of dwindling. Shuddha, without the material contamination of attachment and detachment. Eka, individual. Kshetra, who knows and is therefore different from the material body. Ashraya, the original foundation. Footnote 1. Without the shelter of the spirit soul, the material body cannot exist. No, this is a footnote, sorry. Without the shelter of the spirit soul, the material body cannot exist. The next, avikriyaha, not undergoing changes like the body. Footnote 2. As already explained, the fruits and flowers of a tree take birth, exist, grow, transform, dwindle, and die according to seasonal changes. But the tree, through all these changes, remains the same. Similarly, the Atma is free from all changes. Right? So, very nice example, this, the fruits and flowers, they're changing according to the season. So just like the material body, they appear, they grow, they maintain, they produce something, they dwindle, they go away. But now what's interesting also is that is the fruits and flowers will be according to the particular tree that they're growing on. Right? So but depending upon the consciousness of the soul, which is the foundation, then you'll get a particular body that will therefore grow, maintain, dwindle, and die according to the consciousness of the soul at the time. So it's a very excellent example. Then, okay. Swadrik, self-illuminated. Footnote 3. One does not need to make the soul prominent. It is automatically prominent. One can very easily understand that in the living body there is a spirit soul. Hetu, the cause of all causes. Vyapakaha, spreading throughout the body in the form of consciousness. Asangi, not depending on the body, free to transmigrate from one body to another. Anabrita, not covered by material contamination. Etaihi, by all these. Dvadasavihi, 12. Vidvan, a person who is not foolish, but fully aware of things as they are. Atmana, of the spirit soul. Lakshanaihi, symptoms. Paraihi, transcendental. Aham, I am this body. Mama, mine. Everything in relation with this body is mine. Iti, thus. Asat bhavam, a false conception of life. Deha adau, identifying oneself with the material body. And then when with one's wife, children, family, community, nation, and so on. Mohajam, produced from illusory knowledge. Tyajet, must give up. Translation. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual, they are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change, they are self-illuminated, they are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory concept of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relation with this body is mine. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Lord Krishna clearly states, Mamaivamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta. All living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme amongst all living entities. In the Vedas, it is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entity. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anor aniyan mahato mahiyan, Katupanishad 1:220. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big. But God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than the atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the supreme in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily exchanges take place. Similarly, it's because the Supreme Lord is within the universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. Right? So in this part of the purport, then, Prabhupada is bringing out this aspect of the oneness, to be able to appreciate and understand the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So the living entity, the qualities of the living entity, then from those qualities, appreciating that, we can appreciate the Lord. That's why in the Vedic literatures, there's so much effort put into appreciating qualities. Right? That's the thing to appreciate. One is performing one's duties, that dutifulness that is there, that responsibility, that steadiness, knowledge, humility, tolerance, all these different qualities are brought out because it's these qualities that from this one it can appreciate Krishna's qualities. If you can't see the qualities in other living entities, there's a good chance you won't appreciate much about Krishna. Yes, one will appreciate that he's bigger than us, he's greater than us, you know, you make trouble, he makes trouble for us. That kind of thing. But that's seeing him as Paramatma, just his greatness on that. So it's not that we're attributing him as personal. We're not saying he's the greatest because he's as the person. We're saying he's greatest because he's God. So that's an important step, that's a beginning step. But it's not as much as what's being brought out here is the oneness of the living entity and the Lord based on qualities, based on the nature. That kind of element then brings across that, okay, somebody acts in a particular way. Why? Because they're a person. How do I appreciate or notice that person is through the qualities that I see manifest. So that means in the same way as those qualities are coming from Krishna. And I can appreciate Krishna through appreciating these qualities in him. How nice he is to the devotees, how kind he is to the devotees. Right? How he deals with the devotees. Right? So the sentiment is there, of course, but that sentiment is based on these qualities. That's the whole point. Govindaji is performing pastimes. What's being manifested are the various qualities. That's what the rasik is tasting, is the qualities. We tend to, when we get into these things, not that it's necessarily a very, you know, popular thing these days, but get into, oh, Krishna's doing this with the gopis, and that gopi did that, and that one did this. But it's all about the this and that. It's not about the quality. Because the this and that is to express the quality. And that relationship between Krishna and the quality is what then the rasiks are tasting. So even when we're trying to be so rasik, we're just tasting the external factors, the elements, the aspect of sankarsana. And sankarsana is the aspect without rasa. It's only Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. These are rasa. So even technically, we're being so, yes, so advanced, but in actuality, we're not. Yes, okay, we've become aware of more technical aspects of Krishna's pastimes, but the rasa is something very different. The rasa is just how, even though he's the supreme, he's feeling afraid of Mother Yashoda, who's a living entity. And then the look in his eyes, and then how she's appreciating that, and the interaction, that's the part. It's the qualities. Because it's qualities through which activity is performed. Technique is important. We have to understand. Yes, it's important, just like we see in Sambandha. Then Sankarsana is the knowledge of the subject. The technique, the technical points of the subject, the relationship between each item and the other. And that will be applied technically within the pastime. Because the pastime that Krishna performs does follow a particular technique. That's the Sankarsana aspect. But it's the Prajumna aspect, the mood, the attitude, the attraction that generates the attachment. That being applied within the pastime, that gives the taste. So that means an activity itself has two aspects. The part that technically performs the job and gets a technical result, but the attitude which produces the mood and the flavor and the taste that will come from that interaction. So that is appreciated through qualities. Without qualities, these won't be appreciated. will think that, oh, the activity is being done in this way, that's what makes it special. No, that the activity is being done with the right attitude, that's what makes it special. Right? That's the whole thing that we're looking for, is the proper attitude. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is giving here. But how do you get to it? You get through to it through technique. Right? That's the whole idea, is that even though the mood is the real thing, the technique is the external form that you can appreciate. So here the oneness between the living entity and the Lord is based on these qualities. Because quantitatively, then, there's no connection. Smaller than the atom and unlimited, the two don't really match. But the qualities that are there match. Like Prabhupada gives the example, the drop of water and the ocean itself have the same quality. Therefore, they blend very nicely. So this aspect is brought out in our philosophy, in Ramanuja's philosophy, Vishnu Swami's philosophy of this oneness. Nimbarka also mentions that there is a oneness. So this is very important in appreciating the relationship between the Lord and the living entity. When that's appreciated, then one can understand very nicely what Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. Because Prahlad Maharaj is not just talking just technically about things. He's giving the technical. But we're on seventh canto now. Being able to distinguish between karma and jnana and bhakti and their techniques, that's been done in the first six cantos. What they are, how to distinguish. Now we're trying to bring out what's the flavor of pure devotional service. So naturally it's going to be based on this foundation of knowledge. But it's actually going to be the appreciation of the qualities and therefore move on, right? I mean, what's the saying? Give a dog a bad name and then hang him, right? Because why? You can't do it by the technique, right? We attack someone. What's the popular way of attacking? Do we actually stick to what they've done right or wrong? No, we immediately go for their qualities, right? Legally, it's called ad hominem. Oh, he did this. Oh, yeah, but, you know, he's not nice. But what about the activity? Oh, that doesn't matter because of the quality. You understand? So we're very expert at using the quality to break down relationships. But very rarely do we look at the qualities to enhance relationships. Right? Irreconcilable differences is based on not appreciating qualities. It's not about what one's doing. It's gone beyond that. You understand? So Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out is if we can appreciate the qualities, then we can actually have personal relationships. You can't catch the qualities, you will not have personal relationships. You might have nice interactions. You do nice technical interaction. They do nice technical interaction. And then it's, you know, great. You know, like that. You know, we can, how you say that romantic saying, we can do nice technical interactions together. Right? You know, not the way it goes, something like that. So, that's the whole point is that it's about the qualities. That's the next step in self-realization. And Prahlad Maharaj, he's giving that because he's dealing with children. They don't have baggage. That's the nice thing about kids, no baggage. They have some baggage, of course, from last life, but it's far enough away that it's only there in the qualities you see. But as far as discussing and speaking, it's very straightforward. It's actually easier to explain technical points of philosophy and culture and etiquette to children than it is to adults. You know, no offense intended, just the truth. Because there's no baggage. You say, oh, we should do this, and then the adult will think back, well, this one did that, and that one did that, and this one did this, and how can I accept that? Well, the kid goes, oh, okay. Very simple. So he's dealing very straightforward. He's saying, oh, this is so technical for 5-year-olds. But it's actually not. Five-year-olds can understand this stuff so much easier, believe it or not. Generally, the adult egos know I'm bigger, I can understand more, I can understand the technical. But actually, when it comes to Vedanta technical, the children understand easier. When it comes to skill technical, yes, adults understand better. They have more experience. But Vedanta technical, what is transcendental, what's universal, children understand it much easier. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is starting on this. You get rid of those things? Okay, nice, facts, move on. Realization is another thing, but there's there. But as he pointed it out, the real point of realization is coming from the Lord. Because Prahlad Maharaj heard these, his mother heard these instructions. She's forgotten, he is not. So by the blessings of Narad Muni, he remembers. Right? Because he wants to, so he gets the blessings. Okay, so the point being is that we can see living entities act on qualities. They're doing technique, but there's actually qualities behind it. So that means Krishna is, there's so much technique in the universe, laws of nature and everything, but there's qualities behind that. So the reason that there's laws is because Krishna is a person that has particular qualities. His compassion for the living entities, therefore there's creation. Because in the creation, the living entity has an option or an opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness. So that's what's being given. So it's his qualities. So the living entities have these qualities. If you can see the qualities, it's much more easy, and see them in a positive light, connected back to Krishna, it's much easier to deal with everybody. Much easier. You can get over things, move beyond things, much easier. If one can't, more difficult. So that's the point. You can see the Supreme Lord through seeing the living entity. Because Krishna is the same on a big level. Here we're conditioned, he's beyond. Okay. Continuing with the purport. The word ekaha means individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, fire, air, sky, and living entities, exist on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent on anything else. So he's independent. That's why the living entity has that slight element of independence. All these things are there, but he's beyond it. Just like someone gains facilities, gains position, gains technique to express their own personality, their own qualities. Right? You have a quality, let's say, of doing things very nicely. So what kind of paraphernalia do you have? Good paraphernalia. What kind of environments are you in? Very good environments that paraphernalia works. You understand? So you can tell the one by the other, but Krishna is not dependent upon these. Why? Because he looks at qualities. We become dependent, one, because we're so minuscule, but two, because in the material platform, we see the external, the technique, and we miss the whole point of the personal relationships, the qualities. It's all about technique these days. When devotees have these special programs to, you know, seminars on personal development, what is it actually about? It's about technique. It's not about qualities. If qualities are brought up, it's only because they make the technique work better. You understand? That's the material consciousness. We have to be very careful to not be distracted by that. The point is, the qualities create the forms. The forms are for manifesting the particular qualities. That's the real thing. So it's not that the end justified the means. No, the means is what generates the end. You live, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So go ahead, try to apply, you know, the ends to justify the means and say, no, I use the sword and I won't die. That's used by people who just want to be violent and not follow rules and try to say, I'm okay. But the longest standing one is live by the sword, die by the sword. That's way older than this more modernistic one.
Right. I think the Age of Enlightenment comes up with end justifies the means. But before that, it was live by the sword, die by the sword. Everyone knew that. You understand? So, in other words, the activity generates the result. So the smart person, if they have a particular result in mind, they follow the endeavor that will follow that, will gain that. But Krishna is independent. The liberated soul is independent. They're not dependent upon the activity for being Krishna conscious. It's not like, oh, if we improve the quality of management in the society, Krishna consciousness will go up. No. Krishna consciousness is independent. Management is just good management means a sign of more maturity. Right? More ability to apply oneself nicely. Has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So as Krishna conscious tries to do the best for Krishna. They're doing the best. There's karmis out there that are hundreds, thousands of times better than anything that we do. And they're not Krishna conscious. That's like saying matter generates consciousness. It's atheism. Right? It's coming from karma. All karmis, all jnanis say life comes from matter. Every last one of them. Any philosophy. Because karmis means that you have matter, it's produced consciousness. And then for the jnanis, there is no living entity, so therefore matter must have produced the consciousness. Right? So this idea that the endeavor itself is going to produce the thing, that's actually a materialistic point of view. But the transcendental point of view is no, because of consciousness, and we want a particular consciousness, to maintain it, we do an activity that matches that consciousness. Then it works very nicely. So the Lord is always independent because it's always about the relation with the devotees, the living entities. And for the liberated souls, they are the same. Only the conditioned souls, they get caught up in all these things. Continuing. Both God and the living entity are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Yasmin yau privriti chantariksham vigyataram adhikena vyaniyat ekam eva dvitiyam atmajoti sharad ivo vacha sa imam loka astrija satyam jnanam anantam asango hyayam purusha purushasya purnam adhyaya purnam eva vashishyate. Ishopanishad, right? Purnasya purnam adhyaya. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute soul are individual. The one is great, the other is small. But both of them are the cause of all causes. The corporal limited and universally unlimited. Okay, so this individual, okay, consciousness. Okay. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think that they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called Avishuddha Buddhaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lifetimes to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudeva, they surrender unto Him. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. Thus they become great mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, anu, he is in perfect knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body and that everything in relation with the material body belongs to him. This is called aham mama, janasya mahoyam aham mameti. This is illusion. One must give up this his illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. So this knowledge is given so that we come to the position of understanding how we're not the material energy. We're separate from the material energy. We're part and parcel of the Lord. Supreme Lord is there. We're individuals. Both are conscious. Both have qualities. Right? This is what we're trying to do with this. Then on that platform, then we can very nicely then move forward in our relationship with the Lord and the devotees. Otherwise, then the tendency is we get caught by external elements, and because of that we become distracted. Right? Does that make sense? You know, before we put more emphasis on the international or the universalness of Krishna consciousness, and that, now we tend to break it down regionally. Oh, we're from this area, so we can only practice in this way, or we can't do this, we can only do that. So this is just bringing in the aham mameti aspect, rather than the universal aspect, how Krishna is the soul of the universe. So the universe acts in the same way, right? Your toe and your finger are part of the same thing. Right? We may make such a great distinction, but the living entity doesn't. So Krishna, it's his universe. He doesn't make such distinction. Yes, one part does one thing, another part does another. In earth, there's one mood, and the heavenly planet's another, and the hellish planet's another, but it's all part of one universal body, which Krishna is the soul of. So no matter where you are, everyone's being Krishna conscious. That's why the Bhagavatam is taking Krishna consciousness from any place in the universe and showing how it always applies no matter where you are. So this, as Prabhupada mentions here, poor fund of knowledge, this idea is, no, I'm from a particular area. Krishna consciousness doesn't apply to me in a particular way. Then means we're not actually very mature in our understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. Because actually Krishna conscious philosophy is universal. It's all part of Krishna. We're thinking, no, this is mine. But no, it's actually Krishna's. Therefore the foot, the hand, the head, they all work together. They do their part, but they're all working as one greater thing. Not that, oh no, we're the foot, we only do foot stuff. So we don't have anything to do with the rest of the body. Right? Otherwise then you end up with, you know, like Dr. Strangelove. You know, where one part of the body acts on its own against the wishes of the other. So we're not, you know, okay, that great sci-fi, but as far as reality goes, that's not how it functions. So here is that Paladmar is pointing out is that they may be from the demon class, but that doesn't mean that they can't be devotees. Right? They may be children, but it doesn't mean they can't be Krishna conscious. They may be living on the lower planets, but it doesn't mean that they can't follow the standards of Krishna consciousness. That's the point, is it's universal. It's the only thing that's universal. Vedanta is the only universal thing. Everybody else, everything else is regionalized. Vedanta is the only universal. So he's pointing out, no matter who you are or where you are, you can always be Krishna conscious. So this is then what he's giving to these school children, what he learned in the womb. So if he can learn it in the womb, you know, then surely you can understand it at 5 years old, right? You know, it's a given, right? Like that. Okay, any questions or comments on all this? Yes. Mike, let's start to end. Please, thank you. It's a switch, I think. Ah, there we go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. Okay. You were speaking about qualities. You said that because of Krishna's compassion, he creates the material world. But that sounds more to me like a mood or an attitude. So maybe you can help me to understand what's the difference between the intention and mood and attitude and the
quality. What's the mood for? What's the mood for? See, mood has to be connected to some farther point, right? So if you have a mood, let's say, of something, why would there be a mood of compassion? Because there's the attachment, that there's affection, right? How are you going to manifest that, right? When we say someone is doing an activity, what will we notice? We'll notice technique and we'll notice qualities. We can't actually understand what they're feeling. You understand? Does that make sense? So they're all part of one thing. Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, they're all one thing. Just four different aspects, so it's easy to understand. Sankarshan means your knowledge of a subject matter. So that means everything that's within it. It's the broadest, let's say, the greatest of the categories. Because it has, let's say, all the field of action, everything within that field, everything, all those elements within the field, their relationship with each other, what each one can do, you know, how they apply, all that kind of stuff. Then you have your attitude on how you're going to approach that. Is it favorable? Is it unfavorable? What's the mood? Is it more formal? Is it less formal? Like that. You understand? That's prajumna, your attraction. Then you're going to have aniruddha, which is going to be the particular experience you gain from it, the particular affection or happiness or distress that you gain from a situation. Vasudeva will be applying all this together, so that's where you see the qualities. So when we see, oh, so you have to be humble. Oh, he's not humble enough. Humble is a quality, it's not a goal. It's a technique that's used, right? So we look at an activity and go, oh, he's not humble. But what's the humility for? That's not discussed. So those without enough knowledge of the philosophy, they'll just look at the quality and by the quality say something's good or bad. Does that make sense? Bhima is going out and with great enthusiasm, picking up elephants and spinning them around and tossing them through the air and they're landing on other elephants and all that. So we could say, wow, this guy's got some real attitude here. But is it good or not? It's good. You understand? But let's say Gotama's son, he's brought up about Janaka Maharaj asked him about transcendental knowledge and he's never heard of it, even though he's a great scholar. I mean, one of the greatest scholars. But because he was not interested in spiritual life, his teacher didn't teach him that. He only taught him the externals. So he's never heard of it as a subject matter. So he becomes upset. You know, I'm a Brahmin and you're a king. Why are you speaking like this to me? So is this correct? No. So the point is that's why the 26 qualities of the devotees, one is considered always there. That's the Sarup Lakshana, the surrender to Krishna. The other 25 are qualities in which you can express surrender to Krishna. They aren't devotion. Humility is not devotion. It's a symptom or a quality that someone with devotion has. But there's plenty of humble people. You know what I'm saying? So, but when it's used to please Krishna, that's because devotees, because of the Sarup Lakshana, they use the other 25 qualities to please Krishna. But nowadays, in this modern kind of thing, we say, no, if he's humble, then he's Krishna conscious. We're missing the whole point. I mean, badly missing the whole point. The point is, okay, great. Before it was just if you performed a particular activity or this or that, then it was good. But it was not necessarily done with great qualities. So devotees had, okay, they have their shaved head, they have their dhotis, they go out and do book distribution. You know, they're not worried about the body and this and that. So they're a rough and ready bunch. Not everybody, but, you know, many. So qualities are lacking. But the proper knowledge and the proper goal are in place. And so then what happens? Oh, it's so rough, it's so this. We have to become more nice. So we become more nice. But in becoming nice, we have to give up the shaved head, the dhotis, and all the book distribution, all that. And we're not talking about it's for Krishna. So we're talking about being a nice guy. Koalas are nice, cuddly, cute. You know what I'm saying? You know. Of course, they pee on you, but that's another thing. At least in the pictures, they're great. You understand? So there's so many things that by quality are great, but you understand what's happened here? So we've technically shifted to a higher, supposedly higher level of consciousness by including now qualities that were not seen before, but at the expense of the foundation, which is the soul, and the ultimate, which is pleasing Krishna. Because it's thought if I'm good, I'm nice, it's automatically, it does everything. If somebody is good, let's say, if we say, okay, what is it, how does it go? The Good Samaritan, you know? We all know the Good Samaritan. It's getting too archaic here. Okay, Good Samaritan, you know, somebody does bad to you, you just turn the other cheek and all this. That will be considered in you know, archaic modern as spiritual. So therefore, those coming from an Abrahamic background, they will take good qualities as spiritual. And that's the exact mistake that's being made. But the point is there's a form, and there's an ultimate experience, and those are given by Krishna, because Krishna is a universal body. You know, he's independent. We in a conditioned state are not. So we try to say our independence is more important and greater than Krishna's. We've missed the whole point, the whole teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Does that make sense? So qualities are important because they are the medium to express the technique. But they're not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is pleasing Krishna. The attitude, I am servant of Krishna, I want to please Krishna. The knowledge, I am not the body, I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna. But then there's an attitude of service. And that attitude has to be to please Krishna. So then put that all together, then we have what we call devotional service. Where we're performing an activity and knowledge with the proper attitude, with the idea to please Krishna. Right? So that has all good qualities. That's why it says devotees have all good qualities. Materialists, now and again, they'll manifest a good quality depending on the modes of nature in a particular situation. But in other situations, they're not necessarily nice at all. I remember seeing once, we met this one guy, big, big guy. You know, over here in India, a decent big guy means he has 10,000 people working for him. Right? Like that. In the West, if you have 2,000 working for you, you're a big guy. But over here, it's 10,000. So I remember some program, this one guy came. And there was a kid there. He's an older man, you know, like 60s or so. So he comes in and this and that, talking with all the people they're all respecting because he's the big guy and everyone's all, you know, doing the kowtow kind of jazz and stuff, and like this and that. And then he sees the kid and, oh, he's so nice to the kid, like that. And then his secretary reminds him of something, they've got to go now. And from going for all this smiley like this, he just turns and everything turns off and he just goes back to his, you know, greedy materialistic self. Just all in just the turn of the face. So he had wonderful, how he was dealing with the kid was very exemplary. Like that. He was making all the sounds that you make, talking all the things, and interacting perfectly like he would with a three-year-old. But as soon as he was reminded of his, you know, he got to move on, it's business, he just went right back into business mode. So they're temporary to manifest his good qualities. So all this stuff, yes. Mike. Some people say, okay. Is it on?
Some people say that, you know, before you become Krishna conscious, you have to become conscious.
Conscious is one thing.
And therefore, you know, these qualities that you're talking about, they're important. They're more important. You have to develop these qualities before you come to the higher platform that you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, as I said before, this is a thought pattern of those with a poor fund of knowledge. See, is one has to understand that the false ego that comes with old age is not a symptom of spiritualness. Is that, you know, means you get older, your ego is bigger, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. The point is yes, you should be, in other words, devotees in the earlier days that are not aware of these things, it's not as developed as someone who is. But you can't give up the one for the other. You know, it's just like, okay, someone spends too much time preparing in the kitchen to cook, cutting everything, washing everything, and this and that. And so therefore there's not enough time to cook and they're not able to cook nicely. So then someone comes in the kitchen, no, it's just about cooking. They don't prepare, they don't wash. They throw the cauliflower with the leaves in whole into the pan and start cooking. So the point is no, you have to use both. You have to use the technique and the goals that Prabhupada gave. And then as one's purified these qualities, so in other words, that devotees are appreciating these qualities, they've only come because they've used the techniques. Because they did all that book distribution, because they did all that surrender, now they're able to notice that the qualities are there. Otherwise, before, they didn't notice. The same person is cocking all qualities today. Many of them before, they were the roughest people before. They didn't care at all. All the stuff that they say today is bad, they themselves were doing 100% before. But because of devotional service, they become purified and now they can appreciate. That's a symptom of devotional service, the power of devotional service, the power of Prabhupada. But it's not that they give up the other thing. Because the problem is when they're going to qualities, they're not turning to the acharyas, Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath and that, about how to deal with qualities. They're turning to modern self-help gurus on qualities. And because of that, they're missing the point. Not that the self-help guru doesn't know some nice technique, but he doesn't know how those qualities manifest. The self-help guru means you have the quality, he can work with you. He can't create it. Right? You have potential, he can do something. But devotional service, you don't have potential, it can generate it. I remember seeing, you know, very nice example. One devotee, I knew him since the 70s. And really intelligent, really practical. And he could see through anything that anybody, mood one was doing, he could see right through it. He'd always pull you up on it. But at the same time, he's so critical. He was finding fault in everything. He was like the, you know, self-appointed generalissimo of finding fault, you know, everybody's fault. And that was his service and his right. And it was like that, you know, just for as long as I knew. And then somehow or another, in the knots, you know, living in the Dham for so long and doing service and all that. He was very strict in his sadhana. But after a while, just slowly over the years, as I would meet him on the road, he would be more soft, more gentle, till the point where he stopped noticing the externals. Well, before it would be, oh, why are you wearing this? Why are you doing this? Where are you coming from? Where are you going? It was always like that. He would just talk about devotional service. He became so pleasant and so nice. So it's just the power of devotional service. Because otherwise, he was rough and ready. I mean, rough and ready. He was. But he became one of the most gentle, nicest devotees like that. Very considered, very like that, always giving in charity. And everything, you know, he had nothing, he was always giving. Very nice. So the point is that devotees are developing the awareness of the importance of qualities. That's due to devotional service and maturity in devotional service. But to mistake that's the spiritual aspect, that's lack of knowledge. One has to understand this. Yes, it's important, but you have to add that on to the previous one. You know, it's just like, let's say I steam some vegetables and put some butter. So it's not that I get rid of the vegetables and keep the butter, or I have the vegetables and no butter. They go together. So activity with qualities then gives Krishna the most pleasure. Because as we said, in activity you have sankarshan, which is the knowledge, and you have the attitude, which is the qualities. Both of those are then applied there. And then that being done for Krishna, then Vasudeva is complete. It has all the qualities. In other words, Sankarshan Praju Aniruddha have particular qualities. Vasudeva has all of them combined. So when that's appreciated, then we can see is that such individuals, they'll be way ahead of everybody. If they just catch it in its right perspective, they'll be so far ahead of everybody else in devotional maturity. But if they don't, then they're speaking the same thing that the karmis speak. You just look on the news. They're all talking about this quality, that quality, and then after a few days, no one talks about that quality. It's something else. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah? Yes? Microphone. Back there. 2 minutes.
I just...
Whoa.
Hello.
Hello. I just want to know, are all our good qualities borrowed plumes? And borrowed plumes.
Borrowed plumes.
Yeah, in other words, you mentioned the 26 qualities of, yes, of the devotees, and then you said the first and foremost is surrender or absorption into Krishna.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, when a good quality grows in us, is it a borrowed plume from our absorption into Krishna? Or do we get it from Krishna? Is it given to us from Him? Or does the living entity actually self-generate it? That's the question I want.
Okay. Basically, one has to look at it in a few lights. One is that if one's not a devotee, depending upon one's action, then the modes of nature, they will manifest different qualities in your subtle and gross nature. And those will come and go with your consciousness and your karma. So for the material, the non-devotee, they're always borrowed because they belong to the material energy, the modes of nature. For the devotee, then there you're seeing it's actually qualities that the soul is manifesting. But according to, I think it's Narottam Das Thakur, when he's talking about in that song Shri Rupa Munjari Pada, that because one's in tune with the mood of Rupa Goswami, in that mood there's a resonance, so therefore the good qualities of Rupa Goswami therefore shining on us shine back like that. So in this way you can say it is the quality of the soul, because it's the natural quality to be able to have that perfectly clean mirror that can reflect all these perfect qualities. So that way then we can have the qualities but not become proud, because we understand they're the reflection of the acharyas and, you know, of their qualities. So that way we can, and they'll be there eternally, because one is perfect, one makes no mistakes. So in that way you can say, yes, it is the quality of the soul. So, does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Yes, last question and then. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class.
Okay.
Maharaj, that's the point that somebody told me in Vrindavan, that if a person, a devotee, worships the Lord very nicely, intensely, then it's transferred to the other devotee. I mean, then automatically the Lord awards him the service to the devotees. So that means when we worship the Lord with intense devotion, it's automatically transferred to
Transferred to who?
To the devotees. That means now you.
What do you mean by devotees? Means you're in Vrindavan offering prayers to the deity, and suddenly the devotees in Tallahassee are rolling on the ground in ecstasy. What do you mean?
Means that we get the service of the devotees because of the prayers to the Lord.
No, means we get the service of
we
the devotees.
We get the service. Yes.
So what's that got to do with the other devotees?
No. what I'm trying to say is like when we worship the Lord, then the automatically we are getting a chance to serve the devotees.
Yes, okay, that makes sense. Yes, that's true. Because the point is serving Krishna means serving devotees. Right? That's the whole point, is we're always assisting. That's why it says servant of the servant of the servant. See, Krishna is there. He's the Lord. He is the Vishai, the enjoyer. Then those who are the enjoyed, or the actual ashray of the rasas, they're the main personalities. Mother Jashoda, Srimati Radharani, you know, Sridham, Sudham, Madhavendra Puri, like this, Danishta, they're the ones that are the servants of Krishna in that rasa. Then others are assisting them in serving Krishna, right? And we're assisting those servants. Does that make sense? So that's what we're gaining. So when we have service to devotees, we have that service attitude towards devotees, that's when we can really tell that advancement is there. But it's not based on a sentiment, just be good and be nice. That, the you know, how you say, go to San Diego, go to Eugene, Oregon, they have all that kind of stuff. You know, they're the most developed in these kind of being nice and being good guys. But it's about that, you want to serve Krishna by serving the devotees. Because they are allowing, they're giving you the opportunity to do something for Krishna, so they're the most dear. Right? Because we don't know Krishna. We know the devotees. Very strong example of this was, who is his name? I don't remember, but someone may know. Ramanujacharya was with this devotee. He was always with him. Kuresh, I think. So then he's standing in front of Rangaji offering prayers. Then at one point he notices that Kuresh is standing next to the door, you know, where Ganga and Jamuna and Jai are, looking at him, not looking at the deity, and he's there offering prayers. So he says, what are you doing? You know, Rangaji's over here. We're supposed to offer prayers to him. He says, no, you know Rangaji, I only know you. So I serve you, that way I'm serving Rangaji. Okay? Does that make sense? So we know Krishna through knowing the devotees. Our relationship with Krishna is through the devotees. So that's why that previous verse that was mentioned, yasya devi para bhaktir, yata devi tata gurau, tasya te katita hyarta, prakashante mahatmana. Under those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Srita Sutara Upanishad 6:23. So it has to be the Lord and the devotee. If it's only the Lord or only the devotees, then you won't get the full result. You'll get result because it's connected to Krishna. But you know that you're getting more result when that faith is there. Prabhupada said it. This is what we do. This is what Krishna wants. That faith will make it work. Oh, so we have faith in Krishna, but you know, Prabhupada, you know, he's from the spiritual world, doesn't really understand the material world, you know, he's not from the hood, you know, we are, you know. That kind of stuff is not going to get any realization. You have to have faith. Prabhupada said it here in the, this is the way it is. How to understand it, how to apply it, how to realize it. Now that's where we put our endeavor. Then one will get. Right. So through the devotees, that's the most important. Yes, we pray to Krishna, we'll get the service of the devotees. Is that? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.